Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Children's Home Society was founded in 1893 as a place for hope. This year marks 125 years of supporting children and families in South Dakota. The support comes in many fashions: residential treatment, foster care, adoption, and a prevention program. Deb Morris is Children's Home Society historian, and she joins us inside the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. Nice to be here.
Also with us, Tom Roberts. He's an author who has written several children's books, and the unique thing about those books is the sale goes to support the Children's Home Society. Tom, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Deb, let's start with you, because this is a big year, 125 years. Take us back 125 years ago and tell us who some of those early efforts to form an organization, to affect legislation, to help families and children. How did it all begin?
Well, we are very lucky in that we didn't have people who were tossers. We have old documents and minutes from board meetings and newsletters that started in 1895. So we are really able to go back and dig into what really happened back then.
Oh, you mean they didn't toss the paperwork out?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
We've lost some pictures along the way, but we're very lucky to have what we have. You know, for 125 years, we wouldn't have time to talk about all those years, but I think how we started is an incredibly interesting chapter. And so what I'd like to tell you is the two people that started Children's Home, their names are Elizabeth and William Sherrard, and they actually met in Chicago. He was running a home for street kids. He just had a real passion for particularly boys that were just living in the streets, had no parents. And she was caring for Union soldiers from the Civil War and a nurse in a cholera epidemic. And it's probably no accident that these two people who people suffering really bothered them, and they wanted to do whatever they could to help. And they met somehow and got married, and she joined him in his work with these boys in the home that he ran. Then the great fire, the Chicago fire, took that home with many things that burned in Chicago at that time. So did their home for boys, and it took everything they had. So they just couldn't recover financially from that. They moved out to Kansas, and they tried their hand at raising cattle, which just didn't fit who they were. And they ended up moving up into Clark County, South Dakota, to be near Elizabeth's sister. And really, it was there that they were still corresponding with people back in Chicago that were doing that work. And some kids were sent to them that did not have families, and they just helped these kids find families. And while this was all happening, something else going on in the country at that time, you know, we're talking about a time in history where there was no social workers. There weren't people to help kids that had these kinds of challenges. And so something was being done about that, and that's a whole other story, but I'm going to try to simplify it. They were starting children's home societies, really started out on the East Coast and gradually made its way west. And it was happening in Minnesota. The North and South Dakota opened up, and they wanted to find some people who could maybe take on the work. And they heard about the Sherrards, that they were kind of doing this and had a history. And so they approached them to see if they would make the move from Clark County to Sioux Falls. And with the help of a women's charity organization here in Sioux Falls that found a home for them, they furnished it. The Sherrards made the move to Sioux Falls, and that was really the genesis of Children's Home Society. Eventually, they ran out of room in that rented home, and the Landmark Orphanage that was built at the corner of 10th and Cliff here in Sioux Falls, which is now Lewis Eastgate, that was built, and there's a story behind that too. But that's what a lot of people remember in this part of the country, is the old Children's Home Orphanage, which served us well up until the 60s.
Tell me about the work today that really goes on.
Well, back in the 60s is when it really changed. Foster care was introduced, and that really became the preferred method to take care of kids that didn't have families. So the need for orphanages really all across the country was no longer required. And that's when some of the children's homes closed. Ours did not. It just went a different direction. And that's what we do today. You mentioned our programs earlier in the program. We work with kids, I would say probably 90-ish percent of the kids that come to children's home need help because of what they have been through. We have a lot of the state's more extreme cases of child abuse and neglect. That's not to say we don't work with families who are just struggling. They're good parents. They're just at the end of their rope with how to help kids. But we have residential treatment where kids actually come and live with us for 12 to 15 months. We have fostered adoption programs. We have abuse prevention programs we're trying to get more active in and try to go upstream and stop it before it happens. We're just trying to run ourselves out of business, aren't we, Tom? Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be something if you could close your doors because you were no longer needed? Mm-hmm. Until then, the doors are open and people are finding ways to support in a variety of ways. And Tom, I want to bring you into the conversation because this is something that you do every year. How many books have you written and published and brought to the community to support Children's Home Society?
Well, we're kind of going into our 17th year with this project, a project that actually began with a conversation with Deb and Rick Weber there at Children's Home years ago. And my wife Tammy and I were just volunteers, and we had this idea of producing one of my stories into a book. And here we are now, 17 years later. We've got 6 books later. We're working on a 7th. And I think over the years now, we are very proud to say, with the help of a lot of wonderful sponsors, businesses, churches, libraries, just friends all across the state of South Dakota, we have to date sold about 54,000 books. We are approaching $1.3 million net raised, and that says a lot about the generosity of the people here in South Dakota. Yeah.
I remember being a book buyer for an independent, I was part of the staff there, and the first, case of your newest book came in, and I remember looking at it going, that's a lot of books, like, we're never going to, and, in 2 weeks they were gone. Mm-hmm. And it even surprised me just how many people would come in looking for this year's title. Has to make you feel,
very gratifying, yeah. Absolutely. And it was very surprising. We had no idea when we embarked upon this journey what it was going to be like. And it's just unfolded in such a remarkable way. So many people believe in the mission behind the story. And it's just been a great vehicle, not only to raise the awareness, but to rally people to understand that Children's Home is available for those who need it and is available for those who have a passion for helping in some way, being an advocate, being a volunteer, or financially supporting it in some way, or in some small way, like purchasing a book, because, with the sponsorships, they underwrite all of our production costs. So 100% of each purchase goes back. And I think people feel good about that. Mm-hmm. Plus, hopefully, they are enjoying a positive Christmas message.
Tell us this year's book. What is the title and what's the story behind us?
Well, this year's book is called On That One Christmas Eve, which is actually a tale based on a story that Paul Harvey shared nearly 50 years ago. And I was out for a walk a couple of years ago, and I saw this little cluster of birds kind of huddling in a bush. And for some reason, my mind went back to that story of his called The Man and the Birds. And it really resonated with me at that time, and it still does today. And I started doing some research, and I discovered Paul Harvey didn't write that story. It was a story provided to him by a friend of his who did not write it. But it was just one of many stories that came across their desk that didn't have a name on it. And so both Paul Harvey and his friend and their families tried for many years to narrow down who the author was. They never did find out. And today, yet, no one knows who it was. Well, when Paul Harvey passed away several years ago, the story, too, kind of disappeared. And I decided, I think this story has some legs to it. And if it resonated with me after all this time, maybe it will with others. And I started creating my own version of the story, kind of applying my own little simplistic rhyming scheme to it, gave it an update, and I started sharing it just at my storytelling sessions, and it really seemed to resonate well with the audiences, and people were starting to ask, can you make that into a book? And so we always visit about it with the staff at Children's Home, and then we take it to the next step of seeing if we can get sponsors, and well, it happened. And so here we are now with my little story on that one Christmas Eve about a young man who comes home from college for Christmas, and he's decided that he just no longer believes in the Jesus story and is not going to go to church with his family. So he stays home, and while he's at home, he sees this cluster of birds outside his window freezing, and he takes pity on them and goes out to try to help them. And realizes that what he's doing in trying to help them is a lot like what God did in sending his son Jesus. He just wanted to be able to show love and compassion without frightening people. And in his mind, he was thinking, boy, if I could be like a bird, I could lead them, I could guide them, I could help them, and they wouldn't be so afraid of me. And of course, that's why Jesus came into the world to help us. And so it's a story that we want people to be able to enjoy of all ages. A lot of times people like to kind of think of my Christmas books as books just for children. And I like to remind people that my stories are actually for children of all ages. Huh. If you're 3 years old or 103, hopefully they'll have a message that touches your heart and makes you think.
Tom, we've got about 30 seconds left. Can you give us an opening line, a little something from the book itself?
The man in this tale is by no means a fool. He's a smart college student, home on break from school. He's bright and thoughtful, not a Scrooge of any kind, a good and decent fellow, but skeptical of mind, especially of Christmas and the story of the birth of God in human form come to save us here on earth.